We are live at Top Producer Summit 2022 in Nashville. It's Business on Broadway with farmers from more than 30 states here in Tennessee. Inputs, carbon, risk management, market development, biofuels, sustainability. If it will have an impact on your bottom line, it's on the agenda at TPS.
Live from the Top Producer Summit in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Leah Halverson from 10 Acre Marketing. Then it's Paul Niefer, the farm CPA from Clifton Larson Allen, with Rena Striegel of Transition Point Business Advisors. Right after the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I, handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Davis Michelson, it is good to be down here in Nashville at Top Producer Summit. You know what? Baby. I was supposed to be here a year ago, and if you'll remember, a year ago they had like 8 inches of sleet or something like that down here. It was terrible. I couldn't get down here, but it's good to be back. It's good to be back down here in Nashville, and it's great to be back at Top Producer Summit. It's such a dynamic group, Davis. Every size of operation, every kind of operation, they're all represented here, and it's a fun gathering. And we kicked it off last night with the awards banquets for Top Producer of the Year, for the Trailblazer Award winner, for the Horizon Award winner. We're going to have them on the show tomorrow morning, talk about their operations. But it's off and running fast down here at TPS.
My experience with TPS is no matter the size of the operation, the producers that come to Top Producer are the most engaged, the most intentional, the most thirsty for knowledge and information that you can find probably in the whole industry, bro.
Yeah, it's really good. It is really a fun gathering, and like you said, engaged might be the best way of describing the group here, because they are here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to learn. The other thing that TPS does a really good job of is providing lots of networking opportunities. I'm sitting here looking at Karen Bonert. We do the same thing at Milk Business Conference. Lots of opportunities for networking so that people can share ideas. Really, really a spectacular meeting. We've got a lot of ground to cover. There's news that we've got to get to with what's going on in these markets and everything. So let's go ahead and jump to it.
Well, Chip, U.S. consumers do not expect red-hot inflation levels to last in the long term, according to the January Consumer Survey from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That showed that median one-year-ahead inflation expectations fell for the first time since October 2020 to 5.8%. The outlook over 3 years decreased even more sharply, and the decline was broad-based across age, education, and income. You're chuckling there, Chip. You're chortling.
Yeah, I mean, our expectations are just 5.8%.
Right.
Just.
Right.
That's still an awfully hot inflationary environment.
Well, Russia said some troops are being pulled back from around Ukraine, a sign of potential de-escalation. But large-scale drills continue. The defense ministry's announcement could be a sign Russia might be trying to de-escalate the military standoff on the Ukrainian border. But the U.S. tempered hopes that Moscow wanted to find a diplomatic route out of the Ukraine crisis. Meanwhile, Sergei Lavrov, Russia's foreign minister, raised expectations on Monday that the standoff might be resolved peacefully when he said Moscow was prepared to keep talking to the West about its security concerns. Chip.
Yeah, the markets are very headline-driven right now, and this is the headline that's got the market's attention today. The idea that there's going to be a diplomatic resolution, and if there is, then we're going to peel some of the risk premium off of the prices of commodities.
Well, how about this for a headline? Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has invoked emergency powers to quell protests against mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations that continue to grip the nation's capital, drawing the ire of some provincial leaders. Trudeau pledged at a conference on Monday that use of the powers under the Emergencies Act, which gives the federal government broad authority, including the ability to prohibit public assembly and travel, quote, will be time-limited, geographically targeted, as well as reasonable and proportionate to the threats they are meant to address. He also mentioned the military would not be called in to deal with vehicle blockades.
Yeah, he better be careful. The Canadians aren't looking very Canadian anymore. They're looking like they've got more revolts on their minds than anything else.
Well, the crop insurance price guarantee for corn in 2022 might be, $5.80 per bushel, and the guarantee for soybeans might be $14.11, said USDA chief economist Seth Meyer at the crop insurance convention. He said the higher price reflects continued high demand for commodities and factors that USDA uses to determine the crop insurance election price. One crop insurance analyst noted, quote, PLC and ARC are not likely to pay out despite high input costs. SCO, ECO, and stacks are more likely to pay out because their price election is based on higher prices.
Right, right. Yeah, PLC and ARC, not very good odds of a payout there, and there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. That's a safety net program. But on the crop insurance side of things, that's what this is designed for, is to help us manage overall risk, and that you've got to take advantage of these spring prices.
Well, Senate Republicans sent out a Dear Colleague letter suggesting that they will not sign on to a time agreement to pass the fiscal year 2022 government funding bill quickly unless the legislation also strips money for the Biden administration's implementation of a vaccine mandate for the military, medical workers, federal employees, and contractors. Chip?
Yeah, not a lot to say on that one, to be honest with you, Davis.
Right.
Anything from APHIS?
Yes, there's a pathogenic avian influenza in the Tennessee area, some found in Virginia, also in Kentucky, although some tests are still pending. Chip, something to watch.
Yeah, sounds like it might be a Tyson commercial flock.
Yes. Reports came out of Tyson, about 240,000 bird flock. They're doing some culling down there.
Right. Right. That's scary. All right. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, who is here with me in Nashville. And Karen, sustainability, it's right at the top of the list of things that people are talking about down here. And you are here to talk about it as well.
Yeah. I'm here for the 2022 Trust and Food Symposium. And I'm facilitating a panel about advancing dairy sustainability in Wisconsin and beyond. And I chuckle a little bit. Why are we talking about Wisconsin when we're in Nashville?
Yeah.
Well, Our dairy friends up north have spearheaded an environmental sustainability project that we'll learn more about later today. Questions that I'll be asking our panel, it's a great panel, not just from Wisconsin, but with U.S. dairy. How can we duplicate these efforts elsewhere across the U.S.? And really, what's the positive community exposure that they're seeing in their local communities? And a lot more. Chip, when I talk to my husband about sustainability, he kind of truthfully rolls his eyes a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I think a lot of farmers do. They think, you know what, we just try to do things the right way. We try to do things a little bit better than we did yesterday. Yeah. And they really have been sustainable before that catchphrase has become cool or trendy. And the good thing is all the things that they're doing is leading us to meet the U.S. Dairy's net zero initiative of becoming carbon neutral by 2050.
Yeah.
So we're on our way. But one area that we can do better is sharing our sustainability stories and data to become the environmental leader in the consumer eyes. And that's an area that we have to do better in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things that I'm going to be talking about with our next guest. Leah Halverson is sharing that sustainability story out there. You can be the best out there, but if nobody else knows it, it doesn't do you any good, Karen.
It doesn't. So we got to be that cheerleader and get our message across.
Absolutely. Have fun down here in Nashville.
I will. Thanks,
Chip. All right.
Chip.
That's Karen Bonert. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. All right. Coming up next, Leah Halverson from Black Gold Farms and 10 Acre Marketing right here from TPS.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio.
AgriTalk from Top Producer Summit is brought to you by New Holland, your partner for every season. Visit newholland.com to learn more.
Welcome back to TPS and AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you could be with us this morning. We're going to get into a conversation with Leah Halverson right after we make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now is Mark Lowry, Director of Marketing for New Holland. Mark, welcome to AgriTalk.
Well, thanks, Chip. Glad to be here with you today.
Excellent. Glad that you are. Tell us, what's new from New Holland?
Well, we've got several new things this year. I think for our T7 product range, continuing the launch of our T7 with PLM intelligence, so connected vehicle in our high horsepower range, and particularly with the T7 HD. So customers certainly looking for that product as a row crop tractor, as a potential haying tractor with a large square baler, inheriting more connected and digital features. Another item that we're spending a lot of time talking about and generating some interest is the launch of our methane tractor this year, a methane-powered T6180, that'd be 125 PTO horsepower. Really first to market with that product and utilizing our power plant expertise with compressed natural gas engines and bringing that methane tractor to market. So it was actually on the farm show lot this week for the first time at World Ag Expo, and you'll see more from New Holland on that particular topic as we go through the year.
Fantastic. I love that methane-powered tractor. Real quick, is that a customer-driven, or are you looking at helping to take a step forward in cutting carbon?
Well, there's really, of course, a lot of interest in alternative propulsion. And so that's certainly our brand pillar related to sustainability is a part of it for sure. And really a part of it, recognizing that there's a lot of energy generated on farm by way of methane today that if captured can really produce some ROI. So a lot of different motivational factors there.
Very cool. Mark, where do we go for more information?
I can find more at newholland.com. We've just launched the new product information related to our launch items this week.
Excellent, Mark. Stick around. We're going to have another conversation later. That is Mark Lowry, Director of Marketing for New Holland.
And a big thank you to New Holland for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from Top Producer Summit here in Nashville. And here in Nashville is Leah Halverson. How are you, Leah?
You know what? I'm great. It's a good day to be in Nashville.
Absolutely. Leah is with Black Gold Farms and 10 Acre Marketing. Let's start with Black Gold Farms. Quite a story here about what Black Gold Farms is. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's my family's farm. I am a fourth generation potato farmer, is what I like to call myself. So we grow potatoes. We love our potatoes, mostly potatoes for potato chips and a couple sweet potatoes. We grow potatoes throughout the U.S. And so, like I said, my brother Eric is the CEO. My brother John is the chief farming operator. He's the farmer of the family.
Yeah.
And then I've been a part of it, and I do a lot of the sales and marketing. And so my great-grandpa started Black Gold Farms on 10 acres in pristine Red River Valley farmland in outside of Forest River, North Dakota. And so he started with 10 acres, and we've grown since, and now we grow potatoes in about 10 states.
10 states?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And the winner of the Top Producer of the Year award in...
So my dad, Greg, got it, I believe, 10 years ago. We were looking at some of the posters around the room, and it's so great to see all these amazing producers and hear their stories. You know, we're obsessed with potatoes, and so it's really fun to see what other producers are growing and how that impacts their lives.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, call me ignorant on this. Is there a difference between a potato that ends up in a restaurant and a chip potato?
There 100% is. So the potatoes you eat for a potato chip, they have thinner skin, they're rounder, they have different gravity or specific gravity, so the makeup is different. There's a different, slightly different harvest and process part of how we do things. The potatoes you eat in the restaurants, they're probably a little bit higher sugars. They have a thicker skin. They need to be pretty. They need to be, you know, handled with a little bit more TLC.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. Now, 10 Acre Marketing. What is 10 Acre Marketing?
Yeah. So, like I said, my great-grandpa, Hallie Halverson, started Black Gold Farms on 10 acres. And so we talk a lot about 10 acres. So about 3 years ago or so, a little over 3 years ago, I really understood the power in telling that farm story. So I worked at Black Gold. I did, you know, with our family, I did everything from weighing trucks when I was kids to the older I got. Then I worked in sales and marketing within the organization. And I knew that there was this power in telling the story. story of a farm.
Yeah.
And not every farm, not every agricultural organization needs a full-fledged, you know, marketing department, right? So I did that, and I knew I could take what I was doing with Black Gold, telling that story,
yeah,
and helping other farming organizations. And so we started 10 Acre Marketing, like I said, and now we help out the ag world tell that farming,
yeah,
story.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing down here. The title of your session, tell your sustainability story without getting lost in the science. I love that. When we start talking about sustainability and the eye roll that happens, it's because we get lost in the science and we don't focus on the story.
Oh, it's all about the story. And Chip, I think you can agree with me. We've heard a lot of really great grower stories here at Top Producer.
Yeah.
And those stories get you, not because of the carbon they're sequestering or the, you know, water usage. It's that generational feel. And those are the stories that we need to tell. Now, the science and the data, of course, is important. We need that. But when you're talking about sustainability, especially to a consumer, and even sometimes to our customers, right, they just want to know that we're doing the best we can and that we're progressing,
yeah,
right? You know, when you get lost in the data, then you get lost in the story. You get, yeah, lost in the progress. You get lost in the purpose of what we're doing.
Right. So let's start very basic. Sustainability storytelling 101.
Mm-hmm.
For the guy that's never done it, but he knows he's got a good story to tell, he's proud of the story that he's got to tell, how does he get that started?
You know, of course, social media is kind of the low-hanging fruit,
yep,
right? Just talk about what you're doing. Talk about your family. So it's a social media thing. It's the coffee talk, right? Like when you're out eating, you don't necessarily have to say, oh, I'm dabbling in regenerative ag. You might want to say, you know what, I'm really excited my kid's coming back,
yeah,
right? Like the next generation coming back to the farm is a huge story. So the more you can really talk about your purpose, again, social media, just on the airplane,
yeah,
right? Like don't be afraid of talking about the progress of your company.
Yeah, yeah. The up until the last couple of years, when that conversation gets started, let's say it's an airplane conversation, you sit down. I've had people, farmers, say to me, you know, when somebody sits next to me and says, well, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm a little nervous about telling them that I'm a farmer because you don't know which angle they're going to come at you with.
I hear you.
You can't be afraid of it. You just have to be willing to tell your story if they do bring some sort of a, oh, you're a polluter.
Right, right. And that's what, right, when you start your messaging off as, well, it's really fun, I get to work with my family, and it's amazing what we do now than what my grandpa did. And my kid is now, you know what, she is working on getting her CDL or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like we just heard from Sarah Fry, like the amazing stories. It's not about the water usage. It's not about the carbon sequestering. Yes, there's technology and we're working on that. But when you're sitting down next to somebody saying, what do you do? And I say, I'm a potato farmer. I got a story.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't be afraid to include technology in the conversation, right?
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, and be proud of it.
Yeah.
Don't shy away from it.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing more. We're producing more food on less land, and we have to make sure we keep that in the forefront.
Yeah.
Right? That's our purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a success story of going out and telling the sustainability story.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, one thing that I really love telling, so like I said, I'm a fourth generation farmer, mm-hmm, and I have two brothers and it's me. And between my two brothers and myself, we have 8 girls coming up in G5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And so we're really excited. So, of course, everybody's like, oh, who's taking over the potatoes, right? And, you know, my question is, who's not, right?
Right.
So they're all going to be a part of it. And so for me, success is that they all care about what we're doing. And they're living a different life than we did. You know, they're city girls now, right? Like, so we, yeah, live in town, not even necessarily on the farm. But the success story for us is that these girls are a part of it, and they love it, and they're interested in it, and they're, you know, starting to work in the summers on the farm. And to me, that's a success story.
Yeah, yeah. And it, just because they're doing it from town,
mm-hmm,
doesn't mean that they're any less of a farmer.
100%. And
roles have adjusted from your grandfather.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we talk about it all the time. My dad used to be at every farm during every harvest, and he knew what field we're digging in, et cetera. And now, you know, we're in the office, but that doesn't make us less of a farmer.
Right. absolutely.
And the careers now that we're doing and the careers that these girls are going to be having in 10, 15 years, they're not even invented yet.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
Isn't it? Holy smokes. Yeah. You're excited about the whole thing, aren't you?
I love
you?
It. I love it. It's all about finding your purpose, right? And I think that's what we're doing.
Outstanding. Leah, have fun down here in Nashville.
Thank you. I will. You too.
All right. That is Leah Halverson from Black Gold Farms and 10 Acre Marketing. She's talking about sustainability and telling the story about sustainability. Okay. Another thing that we talk about a lot at TPS is succession planning. We're going to talk about it for the rest of the show here with Paul Niefer, Farm CPA at CLA, and Rena Striegel from Transition Point. They're coming up next from TPS.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio. Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Wow, Beach, a little bit of back off from Russia. And the corn market really took it the hardest, didn't it?
Yeah, corn and wheat, those are the two markets that would be impacted if there was something to happen between Russia and Ukraine and shut off exports out of the Black Sea or even limit them. And so this apparent removal of troops or some removal of troops by Russia is really hitting it hard in both of those markets with sharp losses here mid-morning. And, you know, soybeans, they've been down sharply, but boy, they've made quite the recovery and are trading around mid-range here at midday. And you know, so you got a lot of stuff going on in the outside markets, the Russia-Ukraine stuff. The crude oil market's under heavy pressure. It's down more than $4 this morning in the front month contract, and just a lot of outside stuff going on.
Yeah, there certainly is, no question. And with the funds loaded up as heavily as they are on the long side of the market, this feels like it's at least yellow flag time for these grains, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're seeing profit taking at a minimum, liquidation, long liquidation possibility here. So, have to watch the open interest in volume and stuff like that to discern that exactly. But, they're getting out of long positions at the moment, it looks like.
Go over to livestock trade. Got some plus signs there. That's good news.
Yeah, well, the outside markets that I talked about influencing grains, some of those same factors for livestock, but really the stock market's sharply higher today, and that's lending some support from the outside to the livestock markets. But I think the bigger thing is just the price performance late last week wasn't the best, and it's turned around here.
Gotcha. Thanks, Brian.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Find farm equipment on Machinery Pete's February 22nd online auction. No reserve, no buyer fees. Start bidding now. Auction.machinerypete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk at TPS 2022 in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have a conversation about succession planning coming up here in just a moment. But first, let's make time for this industry spotlight. We're joined again by Mark Lowry. He is the Director of Marketing for New Holland. Mark, let's talk about Precision Ag. What's new? What's coming next?
Well, I think in New Holland's space, of course, CNH Industrial and New Holland announced the acquisition of Raven last year. And so with Raven Industries as part of the CNH Industrial family, New Holland products will certainly get a benefit from Raven's technologies. Of course, with our Guardian sprayer, that blue front boom sprayer that you see out in the market, it will benefit from Raven's visual guidance system. So using row guidance with camera calibration on that unit in order to make the operator's life a bit easier. And then with Raven's launch of OmniDrive, the autonomous grain cart operation at Farm Progress last year, we'll continue to show those offerings and build them into our products as we move forward. So I think a lot happening, of course, with Raven and New Holland together, marching into the industry as you see a lot of news on this topic.
No, you certainly do. And the autonomous side of things, How quickly do you think it gets here?
Well, I think definitely the hot topic in the news is finding the right labor to get in the seat. So we definitely have pressure to make that available to ease that burden for producers. So I think you're going to see it begin in earnest, of course, from several manufacturers here in 2022. But I think you're going to see a steady ramp up over the next 12 to 18 months, and it's going to be more available in the market. So it's here. Yeah. It's only going to ramp up.
Yeah, it certainly feels like we are right on the edge of learning a lot more about autonomous machines out in the field. Very cool, Mark. Hey, where do we go for more information?
Of course, always visit newholland.com for the most recent information and product videos that we have to share.
Excellent, Mark. Hey, thank you for sponsoring AgriTalk here at TPS. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. That is Mark Lowry, Director of Marketing for New Holland. And let's get into this conversation about succession planning now. We've got Paul Niefer, Farm CPA at CLA, and I don't know if it would even be a TPS if Paul Niefer and Rena Striegel were here.
I think this is my 10th or 11th, maybe 12th. 12 TPS.
Yeah. And another veteran, Rena Striegel from Transition Point Business Advisors.
That's right, seventh year for me.
Seventh year. Have we got some audio for Rena? Is she? Yeah, put it a little closer there. Maybe that's it. Give me something.
My loud conference voice. Not used to these microphones.
Yeah. Here, let's try this one.
Okay.
Over here. Paul.
Yeah.
Let's get the conversation started. Of course, when we talk about succession planning at TPS or anywhere, the business development side of it and making sure that you've got the right structure is so important.
Yeah. And the key that you use there, Chip, is succession. I mean, we're not talking estate planning. We're talking succession planning. So transferring that operation from dad or mom and dad to the next generation, it's very important to make sure we have the right structure, especially when we're talking about tax liabilities. I mean, I've seen, matter of fact, I was dealing with a operation about 5-6 years ago, $40 million of assets, about $35 million of debt, and one brother of three was trying to be bought out. He thought they owed him $2 million. Well, by the time you factor in the tax liability, he owed the other two brothers like $3 million.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's very important to understand the structure, understand that tax, potential tax cost of doing it wrong. So,
yeah. That's about as much a horror story as I've ever heard for an individual.
I can tell you more horror stories. But,
let's do it later.
Let's keep it nice and upbeat today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rena Striegel, let's try it now.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you are. There you are. Paul handles the tax side of it. You kind of handle the people side of the transition story, don't you? But first things first, you work with and nominated this year's Top Producer of the Year award winner.
Very blessed.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah, that was really exciting last night.
Yeah.
I think that's always the highlight for this conference is just to go to that award dinner and to see all the nominees, not just the Top Producer Summit farmers, but the Trailblazer, the young Top Producer. It's really cool to see what's happening in agriculture and the way those operations are being diversified and really creating a lot of value add in a lot of different areas, not just their mainstream product.
Right.
And I'm actually one of the judges, and this year was the toughest for us to judge. They were all very, very successful, very, very hard to really differentiate, but the right one won.
Yeah, so.
That's
good.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, and I've had other Top Producer winners, Top Producer of the Year award winners, come up and say they're glad that they weren't nominated this year.
Because it
was such tough competition.
It was.
Incredible.
Yeah, every year you watch those videos and you're just like, man, the game is just getting, like, the bar is higher and higher and higher every single year.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive. What are they doing right from your perspective, Rena, that makes them Top Producer eligible or worthy?
Yeah, the Mollicas have such an interesting story, and I don't think they'd mind me sharing this because they share it with everybody, but they started sort of looking at succession when they actually had a family disagreement that cost them the participation of their oldest son in the farming business. And so, you know, they were like, well, that's bad, and we've got six other kids that we want to try to do this better for them. And so that was what put them on the journey of really looking at professionals who could help them, and then taking a real hard look internally to say, what do we need to do differently?
Yeah.
And that is where they really started from, is with a lot of self-reflection. And then they just started putting professionals in the operation to help support. And they've given a lot of professional support to their children in terms of helping them develop leadership skills, financial acumen, and really promoting good culture inside the organization, to where that family unit, although they, you know, they have their disagreements like everybody else, they have a really healthy way of getting those things on the table and working through them. And so I've been working with that family for 6 years.
Yeah.
And so from where they were 6 years ago to where they are today, it doesn't even look like the same business.
Wow. Paul, when it comes to running a business day to day, the dynamics of people can have such a huge influence. But you can take so much stress off of an operation just by making sure, as we were talking about earlier, that you've got the right structure place, and that all the finances are being handled as they're supposed to be handled.
Yeah.
Don't overlook that side of things, right?
Right. You know, the financial structure, just like you say, relieves that stress.
Yeah.
You understand what your balance sheet is. You understand. And so many of our farmers still are not using accrual accounting. If you look at every business other than farming, everybody's using accrual accounting because it's a management tool. And if farmers can understand the value of that accrual accounting, they'll be much better off. Also, I think farmers need to understand, if you want to be successful, you need to train your successors, whether it's your kids or not the kids, that they need to be trained to take over for you, so that when you go away for 3 months, the farm actually runs better.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do a good job of that, you're going to be very successful. I think sometimes farmers, they have pride in their ability. They have that control issue at times, and they want to feel like that, hey, only we can run it. And the reality is, yes, your kids actually can run it better than you can. Yeah, you just got to give them a chance.
It's kind of like when I've got to be on the road and Davis has to run the show. When it actually runs better, I kind of feel good about that.
Yeah, exactly. You've done a good job.
Love it. It's giving responsibility, isn't it, Rena?
It's responsibility and accountability.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think people have a really hard time handing over or delegating to another person because there's a lack of trust that it'll be done the way I want it to be done, or that they'll be able to execute the task perfectly. And so, you know, when you're starting to talk about transition, or even if you just want to run a really good operation and maybe your kids are younger, the best thing that you can do is really set expectations with accountability, and then know what you're going to do when the accountability factor isn't there. And if you can get that level of openness in your conversations when your kids are younger, by the time you get to a transition conversation or a succession discussion, it is so much easier because you're used to talking to each other. You've had some tough conversations about behavior or performance.
Yep.
You've been given a chance to give your parents some feedback from time to time, too, which is important.
And Rena, I think we heard this yesterday by the person from LaSalle, was that accountability isn't necessarily you're putting your thumb on them. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just saying, here's what we expect. Here's how we're going to determine whether you met that expectation. It's not that we're going to, we're going to really ream you out for not doing it the correct way. And I think we all understand that as humans, we actually learn more from making a mistake than being successful. I mean, actually, most of my farmers, when they screw up, it's when they've had really good luck. And they don't realize it's luck, not necessarily their management skills.
Yeah, I would agree with that totally, because, you know, sometimes we say, go do it. And in our minds, we're thinking they're going to do it in step 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
When we don't kind of tightly control the how, all of a sudden you find the efficiencies, the new ways of doing things, technology gets introduced into the equation, and you kind of let that next generation kind of spread their wings and do it the way they're going to do it in their time, as opposed to imposing what we did in our time. So it's really cool when you can have accountability for results, but maybe not, you know, completely control the process of it.
Yeah. I don't know if you need a full, maybe you do. Maybe you do need a full job description for everybody on the farm. But if they don't know what is expected of them and how their success is going to influence the success of the entire operation, then there's no way that they can go out and do the job that they are expected to do. They need to understand those expectations.
Yep.
And that creates the frustration, and that's the worst thing you want with with kids is being frustrated.
Exactly. Yeah. And we don't want any piece of that.
Yep.
Don't want any piece of that. Okay. When it comes to ownership of an operation, I've always felt that you need to look at it two different ways. Okay? Because there is ownership and then there's ownership. And I know it's very subtle, but we're going to talk about that when we come back from TPS.
AgriTalk from Top Producer Summit is brought to you by New Holland, your partner for every season. Visit newholland.com to learn more.
And welcome back to Nashville, Tennessee, Top Producer Summit 2022. This is AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Thank you so much to New Holland for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from TPS this morning. Okay, we're having a conversation with Paul Niefer, Farm CPA at CLA, and Rena Striegel, Transition Point Business Advisors. At the end of the last segment, I said we're going to talk about the difference between ownership and ownership. Now, I've always argued that there's two different kinds of ownership. There's physical ownership of it, and there's the sense of ownership.
Yeah.
If you don't develop that sense of ownership across your team, Rena, your odds of success are low.
Very low.
Yeah. So,
that's correct.
Very
thank
low.
You.
Correct.
Thank you. How do you do it?
Well, you know, honestly, the farms that I've seen that have done it the best, right, is they really start very young.
Yeah.
You know, when kids are learning the tough stuff, right, like how to pick up rocks and how to pull weeds, and, you know, they're talking about what that farm means, what it means to be a farmer in that operation, and you really are, you know, stamping out entitlement from a very young age.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about psychological ownership of something, you know, you can really feel like it's mine to care for. The other way to think about it is it's mine to benefit from.
Yes.
And when we have a mind to benefit from without the I need to care for it and care for the people and care for everything that's around that operation, the relationships, the support teams, the employees, the livestock, the corn, the soybeans, whatever you're raising, you're going to have a lot of issues, because when it's supposed to take care of me and I don't need to take care of it, then it's just a constant drag and draw from it rather than an investment into it.
Well, and the more you take care of it, the more it's going to take care of you.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really the motto you
that
need.
That conversation at a young age, we are doing this so that we can do this, which will help us. That kind of a conversation has got to start at a very young age, and it develop that sense of ownership. But the physical ownership is where you come in, Paul, and making sure that it happens, that it stays in the family from one generation to
right.
the next.
Right, and again, when you're dealing with farmers, almost more, all business owners are that way, but farmers really don't like to pay taxes.
Right.
So they want to have that structure that provides that ownership, you know, the legal ownership, at the least effective tax rate. And, you know, that's where we at CLA or any really good CPA is going to come in and help make sure that that happens.
Right, right. Talk to me about the role of the, I'll call it legal, owner in this operation, Rena. And is it there? Does all of this sense of ownership start with them, or can it boil up from the ground up?
You know, I think it comes from a lot of different places, right? It comes from good models and mentors. It comes from the legacy story. You know, how did grandma and grandpa or great grandma and grandpa do it? How did the family work together in previous generations? You know, and then, of course, there's just all the mentoring and conversations that are happening while you're doing the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's the professionals that surround the operation. You know, what are they feeding into those young professionals? How are they helping to develop them? And so it really is not one person's sole responsibility to raise the next generation of amazing farmers. It is everybody's responsibility to sort of pour into them. Their responsibility is to allow themselves to be coached and mentored.
Right.
And to take on what previous generations have learned.
Right.
You know?
And I think you also understand that that each kid or child is going to be have an aptitude for something different. Like in my family, I was the financial person. Yep. I mean, at a young age, I was dealing with finances with my mother, because she was the math brain in the family and so on. But my brother was more interested in the production side.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my dad probably spent a little bit more time with him on the production side, and my mother spent more time with me on the financial side. And as was mentioned again yesterday, you know, help emphasize what they're good at. Mm-hmm. Don't try to fix what they're bad at, because typically we're never going to change on the bad side, but we can certainly enhance that good side.
I think that really creates
good
a lot
point.
Of family dynamics, right? If they perceive that the guy that's doing the finance has a more important role than the guy that's turning the wrenches, you know, we're going to have conflict there, because the guy that's turning the wrenches thinks he needs to be in the office.
And
if you look at any good... You know,
the wrench guy is not the good office guy, and vice versa. Well, and I know how to drive a combine, but I'm probably better at the spreadsheet.
So but when you look at value addition, you know, a guy that's turning the wrenches, they might be making a bigger impact to the bottom line than the guy that's.
Aren't we
in the
talking
office.
About ROI on what everybody does?
Yep.
I mean, what's the best return that I can get for your time, Rena?
Yep.
That's
value
what
addition.
We're talking about.
But
again,
you know, just like John Carroll mentioned in our panel yesterday, you know, you got the ownership, you got the entrepreneurship, you got the management, and they're all important. You got to understand how that interplays, and the person that just simply wants to collect a paycheck maybe isn't going to be as valuable as the management person that really is driving that farm to make more profits.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's not say anything bad about the guy that just wants to collect the paycheck, too.
Yeah, because we need them.
Because they are exceptionally valuable. Everybody's got to have a workhorse.
Because the ownership, you know, one thing that people often overlook is like, I want ownership because I think I get control with that. But you're also assuming the risk. Right. You are signing on for the risk, too. And so there's a lot of preparation that has to come to be emotionally prepared for the risk that comes with the
ownership. You mean that thing called signing a bank guarantee? You
that
know that.
And all of,
okay,
right?
we're almost out of time. Paul, what do you hope those that attend your session take home with them?
I think the key is certainly on the tax side. We have plenty of time to help them minimize their taxes. We're not trying to eliminate taxes. We're trying to minimize taxes.
Gotcha.
So we got plenty of time to do that.
Excellent, Rena. What about you? What do you hope they take home?
You know, my session's all about getting your team aligned in the right way and learning how to have the important conversations that you need to have so that you avoid a lot of the tough stuff that happens when the transition starts to occur.
Yeah. The thing that we've got to remember about dealing with people is that what you think is right today may not be right tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a dynamic relationship. On the business side of things, we can handle that and plan. And take some of the stress out of the operation.
Adaptability. It's not linear.
People side can be a little tougher.
You got to stay flexible when it comes to dealing with people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You guys have fun, all right?
Thanks, Chip.
All right.
Thanks,
that is Paul Niefer, Farm CPA at CLA, and Rena Striegel from Transition Point Business Advisors. Davis, we are going to be right back here this afternoon.
I can't wait.
Conversation with Pete Meyer from S&P Global Platts and Steve Nicholson from Rabo Research. We're going to have them on at the same time right here on AgriTalk.